We are in Surah Al-Baqarah, where Allah subhanahu is speaking about ayat regarding Hajj from 190s to the early 200s. And these verses, we have some indication that relate to an event that happened in the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which was the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, where the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the companions wanted to make Umrah in Mecca, and they were prevented from entering into Mecca. And so they made a treaty. This treaty had some unfavorable terms for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the companions, and Islam in general, as the companions thought. But the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam wanted to go ahead and sign this treaty anyway. Some of the companions were upset. They thought they were getting a bad deal. Umar radiallahu anhu said, "Alasna ala al-haq, aren't we on the truth? Aren't they on falsehood? Why are we settling for a lesser deal?" Abu Bakr reminded him radiallahu anhu. He said, "Innahu Rasulullah la yudayyahu Allah abada." That he's the messenger of Allah, and Allah will never abandon him. And so Allah subhanahu revealed a verse here regarding the situation that if there's a command to sign this peace treaty, the certainty as Muslims, as believers, we should have that all the commandments of Allah are for our good and our benefit. So Allah subhanahu revealed, "Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu udkhulu fis silmi kaffa." O you who have believed, enter into a silm, all of you. A silm has two meanings. One is Islam, enter into Islam fully. The second meaning of a silm is a sulh wal musalama. That, O you who have believed, enter into this peace and reconciliation, treaty and accord, all of you. And believe that it is beneficial because Allah is commanding it. And Allah subhanahu says after that, فَإِنْ زَلَلْتُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا جَاءَتْكُمُ الْبَيِّنَاتُ فَاعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ عَزِيزٌ حَكِيمٌ. Then Allah subhanahu says, and if you slip after clear evidence has come to you, know that Allah is, you would expect it to say most forgiving, most merciful. If you slip, you make a mistake, you expect Allah to end the verse by saying He's the most forgiving, most merciful, but He doesn't. He says, if you slip after clear guidance comes to you, then know that Allah is Al-Aziz. He's Aziz, He's mighty, He's Hakim, He's wise. He's mighty, meaning if He's telling you to go ahead and sign this treaty, it's not a weak deal because Aziz, the mighty, will not tell you to do anything weak. So any commandment that comes from Allah, no one can think this is a weak position. Obedience to Allah can never be a weak position. Then he says He's Hakim, He's all wise, meaning that commandment must have the greatest form of benefit and the greatest form of avoiding harm. Allah subhanahu uses this as a preface for a bunch of ayats that come after it, where the fiqh of Islam starts to develop further, where people say, يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْخَمْرِ وَالْمَيْسَرِ يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْمَحِيدِ وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ مَاذَا يُنْفِقُونَ وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْيَتَامَ. Where questions start coming, where the fiqh is developed, they ask them, where Allah subhanahu says, they ask you about wine and gambling. They ask you about menstruation and having physical intimacy during those times. They ask you about the orphans. They ask all these questions and you have mandates and ahkam being revealed not to marry a mushrik, a polytheist. One may think, why? Why not wine? Why not gambling? Why not marrying a polytheist? So to remove these thoughts of the why, Allah gave that verse in the beginning to show the example of the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, that everyone thought, some of the companions thought that it was a bad deal. But after trusting in Al-Aziz and Al-Hakim, they found out it was one of the best deals they could have ever gotten. So sometimes when we have the commandments of Allah, we may not understand why, but our trust in Allah that it is maximizing benefit and repelling harm is the crux of the Sharia. And this is why to one of those questions, Allah subhanahu lays down this principle that every single commandment that exists in the Sharia, that exists in Islam, has this principle of maximizing benefit and repelling harm. يسألونك عن الخمر والميسر قل فيهما إثم كبير ومنافع للناس وإثمهما أكبر من نفعهما. They ask you about alcohol, wine, and gambling. Say to them, the sin in both of these things are huge, meaning the harm is huge. And there are benefits in them for people. But the sin, the harm is greater than the benefit. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us the standard of all His ahkam and His commandments, how they are legislated. So if something has a greater good and little harm, Allah mandates it. Like fasting, for example. There's harm in fasting. We get headaches. In Ramadan, we're deprived of sleep. There is harm. But the benefit is greater than the harm, where our bodies, physical bodies, biologically benefit to a great degree. In the hereafter, we'll be rewarded with fasting, with unlimited rewards. There's a whole gate dedicated for those who fast, Ar-Rayyan. The benefit is greater than that minor headache. Anyone who enters through that gate to paradise will never remember the headache or the thirst. And if the harm is greater than the benefit, then it's prohibited, like wine and alcohol. But if the benefit and the harm are equal, then the principle and the Sharia says, دَرُ الْمَفَاسِدْ مُقَدَّمْ عَلَى الْجَلْبِ الْمَصَالِحِ. That repelling harm takes precedence over attaining benefit, attaining good. So for example, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us, when we make wudu, to sniff in water as much as we can in our noses and then snuff it out. إِلَّا أَن تَكُونَ صَائِمًا. Except if you are fasting, as the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. Well, it's mustahab to bring in water into your nose while you're making wudu, except if you're fasting. Because if you bring water into your nose to a higher degree, you may have the risk of swallowing it and breaking your fast. So here, we have good and harm. We have the good of making wudu in a recommended way, and then you have the harm of the fast being broken. So when they're equal, the repelling harm takes precedence. So the Prophet Muhammad said, except while you're fasting, do not sniff the water in all the way up as you would do on normal days. So all of Allah's commandments fall under one of these three things. Either it's legislated because the benefit is greater, it's prohibited because the harm is greater, regardless if there's some minor benefits in there. Sometimes we look at the minor benefits and get confused. For years, people were looking at the benefits of alcohol and drinking, but today they're realizing that the harm is way greater and they are now prohibiting. Or number three, if the benefit and the harm is equal, we have to take the course which repels the harm. وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.